No, sometimes when you're in trouble, you don't have time to pray a lengthy prayer. Sometimes all you have time to say is Jesus. And the Bible promises that everyone who calls on that name, here's what happens. The Lord comes to the rescue. Isn't that good news? For the last several weeks, we've been bringing a sober word. It's a word that we need as the people of God. There's an awareness in me, and I think in many of you, and perhaps corporately as a local church body, that the Lord is dealing with his people in a very special way during this season. The dealings of God, and we as his children should be grateful that he's dealing with us. It's a sign that he loves us like we are, but loves us too much to leave us this way. The Bible says even when God chastises or disciplines us, it's unpleasant in the moment when it's happening. But the big picture is he does it because he loves us and he has something better for us as his people. I want to give you a strong word this morning. Are we up for it? A strong word? Oh, I believe you are. We'll begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and the first verse. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Now, this is a hard word for a spiritual father like the Apostle Paul to give to a local church. And of course, 2,000 years later, it is Holy Spirit-inspired scripture speaking to all of us today. We learn from this writing, from Paul to the church, that the biggest problem in the church today is spiritual immaturity. The truth is, God's will for every believer is that we grow and develop and become spiritually mature. And one of the purposes of the church, even this local church, is to help all of us grow into spiritual maturity. A few weeks ago, I began talking about the potter's wheel. God had a word, a revelation to give to his people. And sometimes God has a word that cannot simply be spoken audibly. He has a visual attached to it. Sometimes we can see something and it goes much further than simply hearing something. So God said to Isaiah, go down to the potter's house. I'm going to give you a revelation for my people. But you got to be at the potter's house in order to get it. So he goes down, opens the door, walks in, and there he sees the potter making something at the wheel. And Jeremiah chapter 18 tells us that a vessel was ruined in the hand of the potter. So the potter does not throw the broken vessel away. There's still value in us, even when we're broken. God will not throw us away because there is still great value in us, even when we're broken. But what the potter does is he crushes that vessel. The pressure is on. The finger of God, the hand of God, the dealings of God. He crushes that vessel and he starts over. And the Bible says he made it again into another vessel. We talked about the same old clay becoming a brand new vessel. We learned that clay doesn't talk back to the hand that molds it. Anybody ever tried that? Some people have the audacity in their spiritual immaturity to get offended with God and shake their fist at Him and say, "Why have you made me like this? Why are you treating me this way?" Please. Hello, lump. Watch it. But the good news is, all of us are a work in progress, and God is constantly working on us. There is a great song, and one line, one lyric in the song says, "Don't judge me yet. There's an unfinished part." So God is constantly working on us, and His desire and His will. In case you're wondering, the will of God for your life, it's that you mature spiritually. Spiritual maturity, that's the will of God for all of His children, and He's working on us toward that end. Don't judge me yet, because there's an unfinished part. God is still working on us. Now, spiritual maturity is not a gift. I wish it were. I wish it were a spiritual gift, and there are gifts of the Spirit, of course you know. If it were a gift, it could be transferred to us as easily as by the laying on of hands. In the book of Romans, Paul wrote to that church and said, "I am so looking forward to getting to you, to ministering to you in person. When I get to Rome, I'm going to preach in the church there. I'm looking forward to it because one of the things I'm excited about," Paul said, "is I'm going to lay my hands on you and impart some spiritual gifts." But spiritual maturity is not a gift. It takes time and it takes effort. It takes commitment. We can no longer simply be a believer and on the way to heaven. We must make a commitment to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, "As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Now, what we get out of that verse of scripture is, if you're a baby, you should desire milk. That's all you can handle. Thank God there's enough pure milk in the world, in the word, that if you are an infant, a new believer, if you've just met the Lord, if you've just been born again, then you go to the word for your daily nourishment, and there's milk in the word for infants. That's for babies. Now, here's a glass of milk. I love a glass of milk, still to this day, even though I can eat anything. And, but occasionally at night, nothing hits the spot for me like a good glass of milk. And I like mine with ice, 2 or 3 cubes of ice and a full glass of milk. That just does it for me sometimes at night. Now, I have that in common with a baby, because a baby, all a baby can handle is milk. The digestive system of an infant. We got some new babies in the church. We got a new baby less than a week old. Right? Are you feeding that baby anything but milk? That's all that baby getting right now, right? Milk, right? Now, that milk, though, is so important. If you're a new baby, desire milk. That baby desires milk. I can tell. That baby will let you know when it starts desiring milk. That baby will wake you up at 4 a.m, not even able to speak the language yet, but you know that baby's saying, "I'm desiring some milk right about now." Because that's how I grow. I'm nourished by milk. I'm a baby. All I can handle is, don't give me an ear of corn. Not ready for it. It'll kill me. It'll choke me to death. But I need milk that I may grow thereby. But now, as a baby gets older, needs more than milk. As we grow up and mature, even in our physical life, there comes a time when we go into a restaurant and we sit down and we enjoy a good steak. Look at that. Oh my God, I just lost some of you right there. Already, some of you are thinking, is it Outback or Longhorn for lunch today? A good steak. Look at that. Oh man, mouth watering. You better not give that to a baby. Choke the baby to death. Baby cannot digest it. Baby can't even swallow it. Baby got to have milk. And that's honorable if you're a baby. Got to have it. Even when you're old, a little milk every now and then, all right. Tastes good. But when we become mature physically, of a certain age, we have teeth and we can chew. We're ready for a steak meal. Sort of like that with the Word of God. When you're new in the Lord, all you can handle is milk, but there's a desire for it. You remember that when you desired the Word? You were newly born again. All things were new. You had a revelation that you were a new creation. All of the old things had passed away, and now everything looked fresh and brand new every day. What a great season that was. You couldn't wait to get into God's Word for some milk and nutrition. You knew you had to have it to live. But then as we get older, it takes more to nourish us and to make us strong. And we're able to chew and swallow, and our bodies are able to digest strong meat. And that's the way it is with the Word too. Sometimes as we grow, and if we do ever grow into full maturity, we've got to have not only milk of the Word, but strong meat, one translation says. Solid food, another one says. And I thank God for that. I'm looking forward to a steak real soon. But the Bible says strong meat like that belongs to them who are of full age. Sometimes if you try to force a piece of steak into a baby's mouth, that baby can't take it, can't swallow it, could choke the baby. And the same is true spiritually. There are people who are used to milk. And I'm not blasting milk. I love a good glass of it. The milk is never bad. The milk always is good. But now I'm a big boy now. I got to have solid food in order to have enough energy. You know. Some of you enjoy some solid food, I can tell. But there are people who get offended at the Word. They can't take solid food. They're so used to milk of the Word that when the hand of God touches them or an area of their life where God is dealing with them, coaching them, prodding them on into full maturity. It's like a baby swallowing a piece of steak. It chokes them. They can't take it. They get offended and they leave. And that's sad. People leaving the church. Now, we don't have that problem here. Now, we did a few years ago. We had a guest speaker. And there was a new family in the church. I think it was their second visit. I hadn't met them the first time. And they seem like wonderful people. I didn't really get a name or a number. You know, we're not the police. If you're visiting today, we're not going to chase you down in the parking lot and get your car. I'm not coming to your house this afternoon at 12:30 just to manipulate you into coming back again next week. If you invite me, I might. But everybody welcome. If you want to come, you're welcome. And thank you for being faithful, those of you who do come. But this new family in the church, first time I saw them, I thought, well, God, I believe you sent them. Pastor Steve and I met them briefly after the first service, and we felt just blessed to have them. And then We thought, well, hopefully they'll come back. They sort of feel like they belong here. The next Sunday, we had a guest speaker. And the guest speaker was up and in the middle of his sermon. And he was at the place in the sermon, and this was unfortunate. Wasn't evil. It was just unfortunate. But it lets us know God deals with people. And that's what he's doing with so many of us now. So the guest speaker was right here. And he was at a point in his sermon, he just simply said, and he was saying this as this new family walked in the door. They had just been here last week for the first time, and the doors opened well into the service, like 11 o'clock. They were an hour late. But I was happy to see the door crack, and this family walked in and sat over there right as the guest speaker said, "And some of you need to honor God in praise. Some of you don't even come for the praise service. You come in after praise is over." And he said, "You shouldn't do that. You should be here when praise goes on. Get in on the praise portion of the service." Well, that was a good word. It was all right. It wasn't intended to injure anybody. But that couple who had just walked in got up and walked right back out and told an usher in the foyer on their way out, "I cannot believe he said that. We had a flat tire on the way to church this morning. That's why we're an hour late." And we walk in, and the first thing he says is, "You should have been here at 10 o'clock. He didn't know we had a flat tire." They've never been back. Now, that's okay. They're in the care of God. They're in his hands. How unfortunate that the timing was like it is. But that's one example of where people have a hard time with a tough word. Now, that would be tough, especially if you're new in a church, this is your second visit, and you got a preacher up there. This is the first thing you hear when you walk after a flat tire. Hey, I probably wouldn't even come on to church. I'd have fixed my tire and gone on back to the house. I'm glad they at least came, but how unfortunate that, but that's okay. I prayed about it, and I know wherever the Lord has led them, they are growing where they are. The will of God is that we all grow into spiritual maturity. There was a group of tourists from America that went to Europe, which, by the way, Europe is my favorite part of the world, and Eastern Europe, my most favorite part. And this tour group of Americans were being guided by a tour guide walking the streets of an old, ancient European city. Walls and castles that had been there for 1,000 years, many of the walls still standing, cobblestone streets to walk on that had been there for centuries, and it was picturesque and quaint, and the tour guide was pointing out things of interest in that little city, beautiful city. And one of the tourists from America asked the guide a question. "Have there ever been any great men born in this village?" And the tour guide said, "Nope, only babies." No great men ever been born. Not around here. The only people ever been born here were babies. So we all have to go through the infancy stage, and thank God for that. We should not even despise the days when we're young in the Lord. Those are days that we grow and milk is there. The Word of God reaches us at that level, and we're nourished and we grow by the milk of the Word. But in order to reach full maturity, we come to a place where we've got to hear a strong word and be able to chew on it, swallow it, get it into our system, let our spirit digest that strong meat of the word to the point that it gives us strength to grow on into a new and higher level. After the new birth, every believer faces a crucial decision. It's true. Will you commit to discipleship? Or will you be content to just be saved? Not minimizing salvation. The New Living Translation says it like this: you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. I sort of like that. Here I am, my age, been in church since the day I was born, raised in a pastor's home. I mean, church has been my life, and I have no regrets about it. And for most of you, you can say the same thing. Church has been central to my life. But even as I'm still growing and I've not arrived yet, I have just stumbled across something that excites me and prompts me to grow on still to another level of maturity. The word that says, grow into a full experience of salvation. And God's word provides everything we need for us to develop from spiritual infancy into full adulthood and enjoy the full experience of salvation. Now, I know the argument there and the pushback could be, well, but I mean, if you're saved, you're saved, right? Well, yeah. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. Now, how we grow and mature as the potter shapes us and molds us and makes us and fills us and uses us in his purpose, that's still in question for the rest of our life on earth. But if you're saved, yes, of course you're saved. However, the Bible speaks of those who are scarcely saved on one extreme. And it also speaks of the other extreme, those who are saved to the uttermost. So somewhere after the new birth, we've got to decide, am I all in? Am I going to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus while I'm in this earth? Or am I just going to coast for the ride since I have my ticket to heaven in hand and that part is settled? Are we going to scarcely be saved, or are we willing to be saved to the uttermost? And here's the tricky thing about spiritual maturity. The tendency for all of us is to assume we are more mature than we are. That's tricky. Here's a picture I'll flash up on the screen. This man was in the news this past week. He is a 40-year-old state trooper from the state of Indiana. He was fired this week. Now, he's a believer. He's a Christian. He's a member of a Baptist church in his city. In Indiana. He has been a trooper on the force for 14 years. Some would say he's a veteran. 14 years every day he gets up, goes to work, not knowing what's ahead for him and his line of work on that day. Putting his life on the line for the safety and security of the citizens. A state trooper in Indiana. But he was fired this week. I have the news article here. You can Google it easily. His name is Brian Hamilton, Indiana State Trooper. It'll pop right up. This past week, he was fired after 14 years on the job. He's a Christian, a believer, a member of First Baptist. But it's easy to think you are more mature spiritually than you really are. That's a problem we all have. And that was the case with this young man. He pulled, and it happened more than once, but here was what happened that got him fired. He pulled a woman over that was speeding. And he went up to the window. And by the way, a lawsuit has been filed. That's why he's fired. The lawsuit alleges that Officer Hamilton gave this woman a warning after pulling her over for speeding. Officer Hamilton then asked her what church she went to. And if she was saved. Boop. He told her, I'm going to let you by with a warning. But just so you know, I'm adding you to the prayer list at my church. And I would like for you to come to my church. And here's the name of and the directions to the church. I promise you, all that's in the news report. Well, you know, in his mind, he was probably thinking, that's a way that somebody who's spiritually mature would behave. And sadly, that's not the case in our culture today. Now, if an officer were to pull me over for speeding and tell me, I'm not going to charge you, I'm going to let you go just with a warning. Are you saved? I would say, yes, sir, I am. Well, I'm going to put you on my prayer list at church. I'd say, thank you very much. Put me at the top of the list. That's how I would. But not everybody in our culture these days responds. And Officer Hamilton assumed, perhaps, that his level of spiritual maturity was higher than it may have been. I hate it. That's awful. Isn't it sad that we live in a day when this... But the Bible says we should be smarter than the people in the world. And the Bible says that if we understood the times as they change, we would know what to do. We have to grow into the full experience of salvation. Now, first of all, quickly, am I time about to run out? Oh, Lord, that steak is almost done. So I'll move quickly. First of all, let's take a look briefly at what spiritual maturity is not. Spiritual maturity is not a matter of age. Physical maturity is, but not spiritual maturity. Now, it does take time to mature spiritually. No one becomes spiritually mature overnight, but a person can get older and never grow spiritually, even a believer. Spiritual maturity involves much more than just aging. So age is not a litmus test for spiritual maturity. Secondly, spiritual maturity is not a matter of appearance. Be careful on that one. Some people look like they are so spiritually developed, fully matured spiritually. They've got the dress code down, they've got the lingo, they can talk it. They can talk the talk. They can, you know, but God looks right on in at the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance. And I grew up in a church, and forgive me, I have nothing against my church, but the women, especially the women, bless the women's heart, they had to dress a certain way. My grandmother never cut her hair in her life. I mean, it was a matter of conviction for her. It was a tradition, and she was a godly woman. But a lot of the women back when I was a boy growing up, the women couldn't do anything. The women couldn't paint the face. The women couldn't adorn the ears. I mean, the women pretty much had to stay simple. Now, the men, all we had to do was keep our hair cut. We were okay. We could go to heaven as long as our hair was short. If our hair was too long, we couldn't go to heaven. But all we men had to do is keep our hair short in order to be accepted. The women, bless their heart, they had a lot of hoops to jump through. But I, even back then, I saw some women that were the pure picture of spiritual maturity, you would think. They had the hair just right and the dress just right. And I mean, not too much of anything, but plenty of everything that needed to be there. And some of them you would think were godly saints, and some of them were full of the devil based on the appearance can fool you. Spiritual maturity is not a matter of age. It's not a matter of appearance. And spiritual maturity is not a matter of achievement. You can have degrees, diplomas, certificates of appreciation, trophies of recognition from many organizations, and all of that can be good, and none of that is evil in and of itself. But that alone does not make anybody spiritually mature. Now let me tell you just a few things that spiritual maturity is. Spiritually mature people are unselfish people. Ooh. All of us are babies sometimes. Selfishness always takes what it wants, when it wants it, and doesn't care who gets hurt. That's spiritual immaturity. Sometimes that goes on in the church. And by the way, I'm not on a stump. I don't know of anything going on in this church that I need to deal with on this point. This is just a word from God. It's a strong word. It's preventative, you know. Nothing going on in here. In case you want to know, if anybody causing trouble with the selfish, not that I know of. But by God, they're not either. Not gonna. This word is like preventative medicine. Before anything happens, the word of God is there. Amen. Go on and sit. Amen. But a baby, an infant, even in the natural, they cry all the time. They don't make any sense. They never serve anybody. Everybody's got to serve them. They require that they be the center of attention. They got to have everything their way. When they cry, they got to be satisfied right then, or they just keep on crying and make everybody's life miserable until they get what they want, and they don't care how much sleep anybody else loses when they're getting their way, just so they get their way. But spiritually mature people are unselfish. Mature people are motivated by love and are sensitive to the needs of others. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 says, "Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves." Thinking of others as better than yourselves. The next verse says, "Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too." You gotta have some maturity working to really walk that out. Only one watermelon left. I've been wanting a watermelon, ain't but one left, and somebody else's hand touches it just at the very same second my hand touches it. I want this watermelon so much. Been craving it. Ain't but one left, but I'm going to prefer you. No, ma'am. You go on and take it. Now, if you were a man, I'd fight you since you're a woman. Let me help you take this watermelon to your car. It's a big watermelon. You may not be able to get it. I'm going to pay for this watermelon and carry it to your car for you. I am more concerned about your interest right now than I am my own. Well, now really, babies don't behave that way. It takes mature people. And by the way, I want a watermelon right now. I want a steak and a watermelon today. And then tonight, I'm going to cap it off with a glass of cold milk. Don't be selfish. Spiritually mature people are unselfish. They care for the other's interest more than their own interest. Zig Ziglar, who was the first of his kind. Now, you can find him on every street corner, self-help, motivational speakers. But he was the grandfather of that whole movement a generation ago. I met him and attended one of his seminars in Greenville, South Carolina, back in 1984. And I paid $30 to hear this man speak for 1 hour in 1984. And I wasn't the only one. 1,400 businessmen and businesswomen paid $30 a piece to hear Zig Ziglar speak 1 hour. He had written a best-selling book called See You at the Top. It was the first of its kind. Now there's so many out there. He was the first. And he said, "You can get everything you want if you help enough other people get what they want." Zig Ziglar was a good Christian man. Passed away just a couple of years ago. In fact, Billy and Sue know him through his narrative in the Grief Share ministry that our church has sponsored. He was one of the spokesmen for that, and he could speak to that issue because he had lost a daughter had walked through the grieving process. This was a good Christian man, taught Sunday school at his church in Dallas, Texas, and a wonderful man an encourager. And he told the truth right there. That's just what Philippians chapter 2 just told us. But in Zig Ziglar's word, you can get everything you want if you help enough other people get what they want. Don't look out only, Paul said, for your own interest, but take an interest in others too, thinking of others as better than yourselves. The Apostle Paul said it like this: how important it is for love to be our motivation and not to be selfish in our treatment of other people. Paul said, I can build churches by the dozens. I can plant them. I can get them off the ground. I can make churches successful almost overnight. I can lay my hands on a young man or a woman and install them as pastors over the churches throughout the known world in my day, Paul said. Paul said, I can write books that are so anointed by the Spirit of God that they will be included in the holy canon of Scripture forever, the majority of the New Testament written by my own hand. But Paul said, if I don't have love, I'm just tooting my own horn. That's how important kindness and love and unselfishness are in our behavior of other people. The litmus test of spiritual maturity is how we treat other people. We should not show favoritism, should not be a snob, should not be rude, should not look down or condescend to people. We should not insult people, exploit people, judge people, or manipulate them as if they're objects. We should love them and prefer them and serve them and be kind to people. You would think that's milk, but that's such a strong piece of meat when you really swallow it and digest it and grow into the full experience of salvation with that word. Another litmus test of spiritual maturity is this: spiritually mature people manage their mouth. Eggs and rotten tomatoes. Keep them. Don't throw them. Jesus, or no, James, the brother of Jesus, in the book of James says, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. If we can control our tongue, the Bible says, we can control the whole body. Have you ever heard anybody say, bragging, well, I just say it like it is. I just speak what's on my mind. Really? That's not something to be proud of. But that's some ignorant people, some people who are less than fully mature will say, I just speak what's on my mind. As if that's something to be proud of. Hello? Spiritually mature people don't say everything that comes through their mind. They manage their mouth. The Bible is specific about what we should say. Ephesians 4:29, the message says, watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say what only helps. You know, I don't know about you. Maybe nobody needs this but me. But I feel myself growing right now by the meat of the word. I mean, I'm growing. I'm outgrowing my shirt. God will have to get me a larger size. Say what only helps. I heard a definition of gossip. I want to give it to you. And here again, we don't have gossipers in the church. I promise you, I'm not putting out fires today. I'm preventing. What? What? Somebody talking to me out there? Really, I'm not putting out fires. I don't think we have any gossips in the church. The word here is to prevent it from happening, maybe. Gossip is hearing something you like about someone you don't like and repeating it. Gossip is hearing something you like about somebody you don't like and repeating what you've heard. Please, no place in spiritual maturity, no place in the full experience of salvation for that. If it doesn't build someone else up, don't say it, even if it's true. Say what only helps, Ephesians 4 tells us. And then I'm going to stop with this one. We'll pick up where we leave off next time. But spiritually mature people are positive under pressure. And the book of James is the go-to book for this, and especially the fifth chapter on this point. In fact, the entire book of James will help a believer grow spiritually at warp speed. It's about spiritual maturity. It brings understanding to some things in real life that we're going through and how we can benefit as clay on the potter's wheel as we navigate through certain challenges in life, and how a spiritually mature person will view things that go on in our life, and how we can make it count toward the full experience of salvation and mature spiritually. But James says, count it all joy when problems come your way. Problems are a big part of life, and a bigger part of life is problem solving. Spiritual and mature people see it. As we grow and develop spiritually and enjoy the full experience of salvation, not just scarcely being saved with a ticket to heaven in our, but committing to being a disciple of the Lord Jesus and being saved to the uttermost before our journey is over, we see more than just problems. Everybody's got problems. All of us could tell sad stories. I mean, we could sing some country songs. Sad, pitiful. Poor old pitiful. Me and you. We could sing that tune for a while. But a spiritually mature person says, well, you know, I should have seen this coming. The Bible says, we're going to face trials. But the spiritually mature person sees even further than that, says, but you know, God can help me solve this problem. God's already figured out how to do it anyway. God's already decided when he's going to bring my deliverance and exactly how. He just hadn't revealed it to me yet, but I'm going to trust in him because of the strong meat of his word that promises he's going to come to my rescue in this. Problem solving. Spiritually mature people are positive even when they feel the pressure of life. There's pressure. Blow you out of the water, get you uptight, cause you to grumble and gripe. Well, it's an opportunity when those temptations come to grow even more in spiritual maturity. When you're under pressure, remember patience will make you perfect and complete and carry you to a place where you will lack nothing. But part of the way you get there is through the pressure and the trials. So be positive even during times like that. John Bevere said right here, physical growth is determined by time. Just wait long enough and that baby in the crib will outgrow that bassinet. And you're going to have to give that baby a full-size bed, and then a queen bed, and before long a king-size bed. Just give it time. Physical growth in that little infant right now, that little infant, that 9-pound infant. Just give it time. He's going to need a king-size bed. That's physical growth, determined by time. Intellectual growth is determined by education. But spiritual growth is determined by training and obedience. And that strong meat, it's hard to chew and hard to swallow. But we will never grow into full maturity without training and obedience. That's what spiritual growth does for us. Closing with Hebrews 5, verse 12. This is a word, Joy touched on it just briefly during praise and worship, about the calling of God on each of us. We're called with the purpose that only the potter knows as he's shaping us on the potter's wheel for his purpose. It says, you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who loves only milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right or wrong. Now that's where all of us are as a church. By now we should be into some strong word, some full solid food, so that we could be even stronger spiritually and in a position to teach others. And everybody in here knows something that many people don't know. So God wants to use all of us to be teachers of others. By example, that's what discipleship is all about. That's a strong word, and I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right now, it's going to get worse. Or better, whichever way you want to look at it. But aren't we ready to grow up? I'm not ready to grow up. Ushers, I want you to go out in the parking lot and see if there's a bumper sticker on any of the cars out there in our church parking lot today. If there's a bumper sticker that says, "I may be getting older, but I refuse to grow up," I want you to tear it off and replace it with a bumper sticker that says, "Don't judge me yet. There's an unfinished part. God's still working on me." Stand up if you will. Everybody stand up. If you're ready to go get that steak and maybe a slice of watermelon for dessert, say amen real loud. Oh, I thought so. My. Church has made me hungry today. Bow your heads, please, as the men and women who serve on our altar ministry team come and find their place. We're going to give opportunity to pray for some of you. I am aware of some needs here today. I'm aware that some of you went to the doctor this past week and you have another appointment coming up this week, and you have a concern about your physical health. And you know, you need to be one that comes forward for prayer today. Prayer can never hurt. Prayer always helps. There are some of you who are looking for direction in your life, and even this week you're facing a decision and you don't know what to do. You need to hear a word from the Lord. You need the benefit of prayer. We offer that to you in just a moment. Some of you may be dealing with issues in your marriage, relationships with your parents or your children, on the job, some issues that are, whatever is troubling you right now. Here's what this prayer team will do for you. They will relieve you of that care. That's what happens in prayer. They will relieve. You don't have to go out with a heavy burden. You can leave it with the Lord right now and commit it to Him with prayer. Father, thank you for meeting with us today and speaking clearly to us. Thank you for a word whereby we can grow up into the full experience of salvation that you have called us into. And now we anoint these altars. We set them apart for heaven and earth to make a connection. And for the burdens that are carried by your people, this is the place to unload the baggage. Leave it here in trust, knowing that a prayer of agreement makes a difference. We believe a prayer can open heaven and release an answer into our life that we desperately need. So we lift up the needs of your people, the men and women in the church who came in with a burden but want to leave set free from the weight of that care. And I speak a blessing over your people who've honored you today on the Sabbath to find their way to your house and to sit under the power of an anointing in praise and worship and the power of the spoken word of God. None of us can stay the same after our time together with you today. And we bless you and worship you in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Before you go out that door and get in your car, if you have any need for prayer, come at this time and receive prayer. God bless you.
Thank you.